Welcome to Grace Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Thank you for joining us on Sunday morning, April the 17th, 2011.
Thank you. perfect plea.
Before the throne of God above, I have a strong and perfect plea. A great high priest whose name is God, who ever lives and pleads for me.
Satisfied to look on him and pardon me.
we come to you today and we pray that our hearts would be yielded to you in what we hear and what we respond to. Lord, the first song we sang together was, "Thank You for the Cross." And Lord, we indeed thank you and praise you for this day, Palm Sunday, and the week that it represents in our lives as believers and what you did on the cross. And Lord, we're thankful that it didn't stop there, that 3 days later you rose again. And we thank you for the life, eternal life that we can have because of what you did for us on the cross and the resurrection. We praise you for that today. Lord, thank you for this service. May our hearts be open to you, and may we worship you with all we have. In your name I pray, amen. You may be seated.
Thank you. Brady was a fun-loving kid who always enjoyed being at church. Brady came to VBS with his sister and had a ton of fun. Teaching kids about Jesus. Keep making a difference every day. You may never know what those kids will become. But remember, VBS does change lives.
There's not a lot left to say, is there? I know that I am where I am today because of VBS and Sunday school. And you never know these little lives that come through, what's going to happen for them. So I really would encourage you to prayerfully consider joining us this summer. We have a blast. We have a lot of fun, and we would love to have you join us in working. Remember that the way we do it every Wednesday night means that we don't expect every leader to be there every week. This only works if we have a lot of people who say, I can be here for these nights, or I can be here for these nights, and so we keep it moving. Because of that, you'll notice in the insert in your bulletin that we really are requiring anyone who can be a regular leader or a sub or a floater, as we like to call them, because you go from one job to another, you must attend two leader meetings. And this is your one shot to do it, because after that we don't have time for any other meetings or anything else. We just go 100 miles an hour. But the joy is that you do get to shepherd a small group of kids through VBS. And you saw the small group time that they had together. That's what we need you for. We have all of our teachers, but we need those who will be small group leaders, both in the preschool and in the elementary. This year, again, all registration is online. So if you want to be a volunteer, if you want to volunteer for anything, for helping with snack or helping with games or craft or being a small group leader or being a substitute, any of those things, you go online. It's very straightforward. Click on the volunteer tab when you get to the website and sign up that way. Also, parents, I really need you to be coming in, because I'm going ahead and we're starting the process on T-shirts, so I need to hear from parents as well. And you can register your child at the same place. They're not envelopes in the bulletin anymore that you can just put your registration fee in to drop in, but they are on the table in the lobby. So if you don't have one, parents, and you want to, we've tried to simplify this process as much as possible. You don't have a million forms to fill out. You just put your name and all the children's names on the envelope and your money for everybody in one fell swoop, and you're good to go. And just, you can drop that in the offering or bring it by the church office. There is one other thing that I would like to ask from every member of Grace Baptist Church. I will tell you that in the 11 years that I've been here in this position, I have been absolutely overwhelmed at your generosity at loaning us things and donating things. And we'll come back with that list pretty soon. But what I really would treasure this year is your prayers. How many kids would you like to see saved at VBS this year? How many lives would you like to see changed? I know what's in my heart. I'm asked Fred if he would come and pray with us now, but will you join with us not only in this prayer, but in praying daily? Add it to your prayer list. Pray for the souls of our children. My fear is that they come here week in and week out. They come to Awana, and they hear all about it, and they've got all the knowledge right here. Would you pray that it reaches their hearts and that we see them come to know Christ so that they can love him with all of their hearts and serve him? Fred, would you pray for us?
Lord, we come to you this morning, and we know that a lot of preparation has been put into and continues to go into this wonderful program that we have during the summer. Lord, we need leaders. And I pray that specifically that you will bring the right people in. Just push somebody out of their comfort zone, Lord, for whatever fears that they have. I pray that you would just help them to see the need for this. We pray that we would see many Ethans this year, that kids would come to know you and that lives would be changed, hearts would be changed, and Lord, we would see much fruit from what you're going to do in these kids' lives. We thank you ahead of time for what you're going to do and what we're going to see at the end of the summer and for months and years to come in the lives of our kids and also kids that people are able to reach around our community. Lord, we thank you and praise you and for all you do for us and your love for us now. In your name we pray. Amen.
We ask the men to come at this time. We thank the Lord for the opportunity to give. I don't see Dave Myrick here. He may have pulled an all-nighter last night. I'm not altogether sure. But I heard that he is the Reserve Officer of the Year in the Hamilton County. David, what you should come. Hey, buddy. Congratulations. Do you want to tell us just a little bit about the honor that that the city bestowed upon you?
Well, if I'd known I was coming up here, I would have worn socks this morning. But and it was the county, not the city. The city doesn't do much for us, but the county helps us every chance they get. I actually didn't know about it until last week, but it's an award that's voted on by our peers, and I was selected to be the Reserve Officer of the Year, which is great. We've got about 50 reserve officers in the sheriff's office, but 10 of us are chaplains. So it's fantastic that as a chaplain, I was selected. So.
And you had quite a bit of ministry over the last couple of weeks working with this family of this slain officer.
Well, for me, actually, with a couple of the officers that were on scene that become really good friends with. So I spent a lot of time with them over the last couple of weeks.
Well, Dave, we're excited at how you're getting a chance to do God's work in the city, and you're seeing people that that you probably under normal circumstances might not necessarily see, and helping people and helping a group of people that need a lot of encouragement. We thank you. We thank you for what you're doing. Father, as I think of the work that Dave and these chaplains and these officers do, I thank you for that work, Father. I thank you for their love and for their care. And for Dave and Karen, as they minister in this chaplain's office, I pray, Father, for the family of this slain officer. I'm thankful, Father, that he knows you. But, Father, there's ministry and there's encouragement there, Father, and we pray that just that will be done. And, Father, for this offering, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Kevin. Always blessed when you play. Appreciate that.
Well, it befalls my opportunity. This is Palm Sunday, and normally I am cranked up on Easter, but I've been cranked up on Easter really for about the last couple of weeks. And we're going to finish up 2 Corinthians 5 next week on Easter Sunday, and going to have a chance really to really talk about just the whole focus of all that's entailed with Easter. But today is really a special time because Dave and Diane Carney, this is their last service with us, I think. And they're leaving for Malaysia when? This week sometime. Wednesday morning. And so this was our, this is Custard's last stand right here. And so, we have missionaries that are very, very gifted speakers and some that are just absolutely unbelievably gifted speakers. And that's Dave. And Dave has a tremendous knack of opening the Word and sharing it with us and just helping us see the importance of these things. And going to Malaysia, that's a tough, tough place. And so I wanted to take a special time for you to see them and to see the ministry that they're all about. So Dave, come and open the Word of God for us. You're a blessing, fella.
Wow, no pressure with that. That's easy. No, not a problem. Do you have any idea how long-suffering and patient you are? I always surmised that you were, but until the last time that I spoke here and I was handed after I had spoken a DVD of my message and noted on the track that it was 53 minutes long. And I thought, now there are some patient people. What's wrong with you? Don't you have anywhere to go, things to do? I'm going to make some promises to you this morning, but one of them isn't time. But actually, I want to share with you this morning my promise to you and to God. Turn with me, if you would, please, to Acts chapter 19. Excuse me, Acts 20. In 3 days, we start a journey that began about 2 years ago this month. We heard the voice of the Holy Spirit whisper in our hearts that we needed to do something to reach the unreached nations of the 1040. We stepped out in faith, believing that the Lord would supply, and that's exactly what He's done. We look forward to getting on that airplane on Wednesday about noon in Atlanta, fly to Seoul, South Korea, get off the plane and sleep for the night, get up the next day, go another 10 hours into Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. There for the next 6 months, we'll be replacing a missionary, giving him a short furlough that's been serving there quietly as a retiree for the past 8 years. And it'll be our joy to work with his small church of about 20 folks, sharing the gospel and doing what we can to reach people in an Islamic nation with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is an adventure, and an adventure that we're excited about, but one that we need your prayers about. And this morning, I want to share with you, following the footsteps of the Apostle Paul, some promises that we want to make to you before God. Some promises that we want to make in the presence of God and in the presence of you, our church. Take a look with me, if you would, at verse 17. From Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. When they were come to him, he said unto them, "Ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, with many tears and temptations which befell me, by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I've received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Father, meet with us this day. Thank you for calling us into your service and giving us your call and your power, your equipping, your spirit to carry out the things you ask us to do. Father, I pray this morning in this hour that's ours that you will speak through your spirit, that you'll empower your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Promises. I struggled a lot with the sermon title this morning because something about saying I want to make some promises to you in one hand rubs me the wrong way. Because I certainly don't want to give the thought this morning that I'm proud or boastful or want to share with you about what we're going to do. You'll find very shortly that's not the intent of my heart this morning. But as I thought about what I would share with you on the last Sunday for a while that we'll get to be with you, promises is something that just kept coming back to heart because both Diane and I believe that we owe you something. Not just you, but God. And so these promises this morning are before God and they're before you. And these promises are more than just promises that we want to make. These promises are your prayer request for us. Oftentimes people ask us, well, what can we pray for concerning your ministry? I'm going to answer that question this morning. Three specific phases, areas of our lives that Diane and I are asking you to make your prayer request for our ministry. Our promises are your prayers. These promises come from the example of the Apostle Paul found in this chapter in Acts. The first one, take a look at verse 18. When they were come to him, he said unto them, you know from the first day that I came unto Asia, after what manner I've been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. Verse 22, now behold, I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Before we left our apartment this morning at Titus, we slipped out into the little conference room at Titus and sat around the table and studied the Word. And later, Diane and I, sitting in the little on the sofa there in our apartment that's been our home for the last few weeks, sat and mulled over these verses and made some promises to God. The first promise that we made to him is the promise we make to you. We promise to serve the Lord with humility and perseverance. To be honest with you, I have been a part and parcel of ministries throughout the years of my life where sometimes it's hard to see and gather humility out of those that serve Christ. To serve him with humility, as Paul said, serving the Lord, he said, with humility of mind. It seems like that's becoming a lost trait in our day. But you see, to serve him with humility simply means that we recognize the reality of the situation we're in. That ego and human ambition and human drive and desire will not get the job done in the spiritual realm. It won't do it. Oh, it may build ministries, it may gather crowds, it may bring people into the sound of a good speaker's voice, but getting the job done in a spiritual kind of ministry requires the work of God. So there's no place for us in it. There's only a place to serve Him faithfully, only a place to persevere with what He calls us to do. The apostle can point and actually show his life as an example and say, you know how I've ministered with you over the last times that I've been with you, ever since I entered Asia. I've served Him with humility, and He served Him with tears and temptations. And he said, even now as I get ready to take this trip to Jerusalem, every town and village that I stop in, they say that bonds await you, that imprisonment and trial and affliction is what waits you at the end of the line. But the apostle would say, not only will we serve Christ with humility because He's called us, but we'll persevere regardless of the future, regardless of the cost. 7 years ago, we stepped foot inside Grace Baptist Church for the first time. If my memory serves me right, I know it was an evening service, and I'm almost positive it was Wednesday night. Stood out in the middle of the foyer as we'd come inside parking lot over there and stepped into the foyer and just kind of mauling around like new folks to a church that don't know anybody. We knew some of the fellows from BIMI, Brother Holiday and Ramses and Cato's, others that had said, you ought to try Grace since you're back in town. And so we did. The first church that we actually visited when we returned from Russia. As I milled around out in the hallway, different folks came up and said hello. Of course, you can't slip into the hallway without running into Jim Collins and a bunch of other folks. Don't mean to omit anybody's name that greet you with a warm handshake and a warm welcome. But as I was standing out there chit-chatting, a fellow came up to me and he said, well, how are you tonight? What's your name? I said, my name's Dave Carney. He said, well, we're so glad to have you with us. He said, my name's Steve Euler. And he went on to chit-chat out there, just chatting for a while. Just a normal fella looked to me. See, I didn't know who he was. I came in and sat down in the pew, and a fella got up to speak that night and open the Bible, and it was the same fella that just kind of patiently, kindly had chatted with us just like anybody else would in the service. I was looking for some Steve Euler. I had no clue who this Euler guy was that I met out in the hallway, but turned out that same example of a humble servant that's been here persevering through the years is the same kind of spirit that we long to take with us to the place where God has called us. And so we make that promise to you with a tear in our heart and with a fear in the corner of our heart, knowing that we can't serve the Lord with the full humility that He's due. We can't serve Him with the faithfulness that His name is worthy of unless somebody takes seriously our plea to pray for us. Our promise is your prayer. Would you pray that God would empower us in our service, that we would serve the Lord in humility with the tears and temptations, regardless of what the path may hold? We ask the Lord to lead us to the untouched, unreached nations of Asia. We had our eyes set on Singapore, an open door, an open window, so to speak, in the midst of some of those nations. Never did we dream that all of a sudden God would open a door for us before we ever stepped foot on Singaporean soil to actually minister in one of those restricted access nations like Malaysia. And all we can do is look back at how He's guided the steps thus far and say, wow, God really knows what He's doing. Because if it was left up to me, we'd be in a shambles, I'm sure. Wow, God knows what He's doing. So many things that concern us. We prayed and we worried about some of those major things that had to come together before we left overseas, thought about our house. What are we going to do with that? And put it up for rent, and it took a whole 4 days to rent that house. It was amazing. Now, what are we going to do with a car? A car that we still owe a significant amount of money on. What are we going to do with an old car that has, it's already an 05 with 112,000 miles on it? Who's going to buy that? It took all of 2 hours to sell that thing. And you look back upon how God leads and God guides, and it precludes any kind of human intellect or knowledge that in the spiritual realm, we need His presence and we need the power of His Spirit. And we're asking you to pray with us that this promise would be your prayer to serve Him with humility, with perseverance. But take a look at verse 20. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 26. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Verse 31. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. This is the essence of our ministry. This is the heart of our call. This is the reason that we spent the last week kissing children and grandchildren and parents goodbye to move for some time across the seas to purposefully separate ourselves from the people, from the country, from the church that we love to go elsewhere. What's the cause? It's the cause to proclaim the gospel. And if we go and fail to have the breath of God upon our witness, if we go and fail to have His boldness in our heart, if we go and fail to step up and stand up and speak out for Jesus Christ, then we might as well stay home. And so our promise to you before God this morning is that we will proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ with clarity and with boldness. And may our promise be your prayer. Clarity as full and as clear as possible. In chapter 21 and verse 13, the apostle also said this. Verse 12 says, when we heard these things, you see, Agabus had prophesied of Paul's imprisonment at Jerusalem. And when we'd heard these things, both we and they of the place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, what mean ye to weep and to break my heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. What boldness! What boldness in the face of what was prophetic adversity. And my wife and I have not faced or have any reason to believe that the cost will be that dear for us. Even though Malaysia's Islamic, it is a safe and open society with Buddhists and Hindus and some Christian churches. There is danger inherent in it. The most dangerous aspect of being sharing your faith with a Malay, with a Muslim. That is against their rules and could get you quickly evicted from the country. But as we look at the ministry that God has called us to, we want to speak His word with boldness. No blood on our hands, as the apostle mentioned in chapter 20. We want to speak with boldness to share and proclaim the message of Jesus Christ. My wife and I read the book in preparation for going there, written by a Pakistani lady named Bilquis Sheikh. I don't know if any of you have ever read her book. It was written probably her life spanned back in the 70s and 80s, and she was the wife of an ambassador of high rank in the Pakistani government. Her husband divorced her. For reasons not really declared in the book. And then she went on to live in the big house with a lot of servants, very wealthy, very reputable in the country of Pakistan, of course, a Muslim nation. She had a servant girl that followed Jesus Christ. Both of them knew someone else that was a Christian that was very close to them, and this Christian lady was martyred at the hands of some fanatics years ago in the 70s. The death of that Christian young woman left such an indelible mark upon this lady, Bilquis Sheikh, that she asked her servant girl to bring her a Bible. After some time, they brought a Bible into the house, and sitting there in her room, she began to read through the New Testament, through the gospel story of Jesus Christ. Through that, time won't permit me to share this morning, but she came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. a saving knowledge of the Lord. The book goes on to tell, the book titled I Dared to Call Him Father, goes on to tell the story of the next 20, 25 years of her life. She wasn't born again until she was middle-aged, 50 years of age, and tells the rest of the story of her life, how she followed day by day just the inner witness, the inner voice of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit told her that she should not step away from her family, even though they had ostracized her. As soon as she trusted Christ, the uncles called her and began to berate her. And of course, her estranged husband and her own children said, "We love you, but we want nothing to do with you because of all of this Christianity stuff that you're doing." And they had shut her out. And yet she heard the news come through the servants. Her own family didn't even notify her of a cousin that had passed away, a cousin that was her closest friend through childhood. She wanted to go to the funeral, but thought there's no way I could do that. And she began to pray and felt the Holy Spirit urge her to go. Hadn't seen the family for almost a year. And as she entered into that home where the body was laying and where the family was mourning, as soon as she stepped over the threshold, a cold chill went through the house. They turned and stared at her and quickly turned away and began to talk to each other and ignored her entrance into the home. She made her way to the sofa, sat down on the couch, and just sat and waited. Waited while they looked at her with their piercing, steely glares, thinking, what is she doing, breaking the specialness of this hallowed moment? And yet, at a certain moment, as they got ready to say goodbye to the loved ones, she saw her cousin's husband, mother, come up to the body to say goodbye, and the Holy Spirit urged her and say, "Go say a word." She thought, "Lord, are you sure? Just my presence is a big enough offense. Should I do this?" And she felt the Spirit urge her. She walked up and grabbed her by the arm and said, "I want you to know that I'm so sorry for what's happened. You know that she was my closest friend growing up, and I want you to know that as a Christian, that I'm going to pray for you every day that God gives you peace." She turned to walk away and felt her grip on her arm and said, "Thank you so much for coming." And that began to thaw a little bit some of the people within her family. And the rest of her life story is a story in the midst of overwhelming persecution. They vowed at a particular time, her own relatives and some of the townspeople, to take her and assassinate her life as an honor killing. And as the servants urged her to put locks and deadbolts on the doors and to bar the windows, she asked the Lord what to do and felt Him speak that I can protect you. And so as they were to come and execute her, she sat in the middle of her living room with the doors open, waiting and bidding them to come. They never came. They sent an Englishman that used to be a Christian that had given his, had converted to Islam, to come and chat with her one day, thinking this would shake her mind. The Englishman left shaking his head and vowing to read the Gospel of John anew to find out what it was there that he'd missed in his earlier trek through Christianity. Her life, a story of boldness in the midst of persecution. Today in Pakistan, in a mountain range, overlooking the beautiful mountains of her village, stands her tombstone. And on the tombstone, a simple statement: she loved Jesus Christ. I want to share with you today that we need you to pray for something that we in ourselves cannot have, a boldness in the midst of whatever may come to share Christ with people, a boldness to get to the heart of the gospel, a boldness to share with clarity, with compassion, wise as serpents and harmless as doves, a boldness to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. This promise is your prayer. Look at verse 33. "I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Sitting in our small living room this morning, we vowed to God that we'd serve him with humility and perseverance. We promised the Lord that we'd share his word with clarity and boldness. And we promised our God that we would manage our resources, our finances, with integrity and transparency. Integrity without covetousness. Transparency as an open example of trusting God and a giving, generous heart. Integrity and transparency. Such is not always the case with those in Christian service. In fact, as you look through the things that we've talked today, these are often taught in college classes to young men considering the ministry as three of the prominent pitfalls of ministry: pride, dereliction of duty, not witnessing, sharing the gospel, and finances, fortune. But I have an advantage. I grew up in a preacher's home. My dad was a wallpaper hanger and a house painter that wanted to be a millionaire by the age of 40. He was well along the way at 32 till God changed his life. He gave the company to his partner and went on to start a small church in the outskirts of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Elizabeth, Pennsylvania. Invested every dime that basically he'd saved through the years in an old school building that they bought and renovated, and a parsonage that they built beside that later he gave to the church as well. Later they demanded that they pay him the cost that he gave towards the parsonage, which he took and rolled over into another one. But my dad has left a mark upon my heart by his integrity and transparency with his finances. My dad, as a man of some means before he was called into the ministry, could have lived different than he chose. But I remember his choices as a young man growing up in his house as to the kind of car that he drove, and his choices as to the way he spent money. I know that beyond a shadow of a doubt, in 40 years of ministry preaching the gospel, that my father retired with less income from his church than I receive today to carry the gospel overseas. He retired a simple man with a few dollars in a bank account, with Social Security that he relies upon every month to pay the bills and get them through. Retired in this world sense, a failure. But I knew that below the surface something else was lurking, that down in the bottom of Dad's heart there was something that drove him in 40 years of ministry to never once make an issue of money. That's why the second church he went to, he took a reduction in pay of a third, because he felt the Holy Spirit lead him there to preach the gospel, because it was a passion that he shared with me as a young man getting ready to go into the ministry, that where God guides, he provides, where he leads, he feeds. And he said, David, I can't, if I could, I would never live beyond the ability of the people that I minister to, because they sacrifice of their money, of their wealth, of their talent to support my life, and I owe it to God to do the best that I can with what he's given me. And Diane and I feel the same way. But I tell you today that the allure of the world and the pool of things is a powerful thing, isn't it? The materialism that has so enveloped us in the United States is spreading throughout all of the world. In fact, ministries today that you see overseas, prosperity doctrine, let me retitle that for you. That's called nothing more than just hunger for money. And as you look at the things that face the world today, we want a clear conscience that when we stand before the Lord, that we use the resources that were provided by widowers and by widows, when we use the resources that were provided by people that sacrificed for the sake of missions, that we want to stand in the presence of Jesus Christ and say, Did we do okay? And in that respect, we need your prayers. That our promise, our pledge to you, to serve and use our resources with integrity and transparency, we asked you today that it would be your prayer. As Paul was ready to leave the world, as he'd come to the end of his race, he passed every one of these promises on to Timothy. In 2 Timothy 2 and verse 24, he said, "The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth." In other words, he said, "Oh, Timothy, I've lived my life as a humble servant of Jesus Christ. Do likewise." In 2 Timothy 4, verse 2, he said, "Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and shall turn away from their ears from the truth, and shall be turned to fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry." Oh, Timothy, Paul would say, be a bold witness for Jesus Christ. And in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10, he would say, "For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things." What was his secret? How could he come to the end of the line in 2 Timothy and write these words, "For I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." How did he do that? Well, I think the answer is in those verses. Look, I'm ready to be offered. I think Paul lived with his eyes on his cross. Paul lived with the knowledge and the thought that his stance for Jesus Christ would cost something. That he, like the other apostles of the Lord, was called to lift up the cross and deny themselves and follow him. Paul lived in light of a cross, the cross of Christ that he was called to bear, but he lived with one eye on the cross and another on his course. "I've finished my course," paying attention to the path that he'd been given, listening to the inward witness of the Spirit of God, following his urgings as it led him throughout Asia Minor, as it led him throughout his world, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. He held the cross and he kept his course, and then finally, he had an eye on the crown, didn't he? "There's laid up for me a crown of righteousness." His eye on the crown, his eye on the imperishable, eternal crown. But oh friend, beyond all of that is the real answer, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. He left with his focus on his Christ. It's our prayer this morning that God would fix our hearts on our cross, his our course, the crown, and our Christ, so that someday when we stand before him, that we can hear his voice say, "Well done, enter into the joy of the Lord." That's our desire, our promise to our sending church. And I pray this morning that our promise is your prayer. Father, meet with us today. Thank you for the power of your word. I pray this morning that you will bless the ministry you've called us to. Oh God, we know that you're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so I ask you this morning, to Lord Jesus, to move before us in the hearts of people, Malay and Indian and Chinese, that inhabit that nation of Malaysia. Give us boldness and wisdom and power and protection. Help us to proclaim your word with boldness and clarity to those that so desperately need your word. And, O God, impress upon the hearts of our friends, our co-laborers, our church, to pray for us. In your name, amen.
I think we're going to close the service a little differently. Dave, how about you and Diane coming this way? And I was looking, I don't know, Dave Markham is not here, is he? Okay. Dr. Itterman, would you come and pray for Dave and Diane, please? Okay. You know, you could do it right there.
Oh, okay.
And Dave and Diane, why don't you just stand right here next to him? Here is the microphone.
Yes, okay.
And pray for them as they go out into the ministry and they go out to serve God.
Okay. Dear Lord, we're so thankful that another worker has been willing to obey your voice, ready to go. You said, pray the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Oh, Lord, how grateful we are that here's another one, Lord, that has said, yes, Lord, I'll go no matter what befalls me, like the Apostle Paul said. And Lord, bless him. And may there be many souls that will be influenced as the Holy Spirit speaks through him. Give victory, 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 wherever he turns. And let him not in any way be filled with doubt of what you can do when we say yes to you. So bless him, and may thy power be manifested. In Jesus' name, amen.
That was special. That was special, and we thank the Lord for this couple and your special couple, what the Lord is doing and continues to do in your life. Tonight we're having a Seder, and I hope that you'll come, that you'll be with us. I think you'll find it to be very, very encouraging and reassuring spiritually, as you see, as Fred goes through and talks about all of the different kinds of things. Now, Dave didn't wear socks. Fred, are there any promises about shoes and socks? Are you going to bring that bathrobe again? And okay, so this is a sight. This is a sight. So, okay, that I think is going to be special, and Beth is approving everything that's being done here. Okay, all right. I just want to make sure we don't get any deer jerky snuck in here along the way, and Fred comes up with unusual things, and so we just want to keep a record of that. I had somewhere in my mind, I had two things I wanted to mention. I forgot to mention this morning that Carol Woods is in Kosovo, and she's over there at that Nadine Hennessy where they developed that academy. We talked about that ministry. She's over there with a team looking to help develop and work through those issues. And so you pray particularly. Listen, Father, we thank you for what you've done for us and for this wonderful testimony of Dave and Diane. And I pray, Father, that you'll go before them and that you'll use them. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for worshiping with us today. Grace Baptist Church exists to glorify God by knowing Him through His Word, loving Him through worship and obedience, and serving Him by caring for others. For more information about our ministries, please go to www.aboutgracebaptist.org. See you next time.